Hello, and welcome to another episode of VG Club. I am your host, Daxter23Jack, aka Viv, and today I am joined by Marcus, aka Kulak,
Hello, hello.
Ben, aka BJK394,
Hey.
Javi, aka Javiously,
Hello.
and Chris, aka Korea9.
Hey.
And yeah, I guess before we go into the bulk of today's episode, we're gonna start off on a bit of a sadder note. On January 23rd, one of our co-hosts, Grace, unfortunately passed away in her sleep. She was battling a respiratory illness at the time, and it just came out of nowhere. And yeah, while we were recording last episode, we didn't even know that she had already left this world. So I guess I just wanted to start off the podcast by kind of dedicating things to her. She was an amazing friend who I had known for the past 4 or 5 years and kind of helped me come to terms with my own gender identity. And yeah, to honor her memory, I shouldn't say we. This was Pride. I believe it was Chris, and was it also you, Ben, who looked through their Twitter transcripts to see what some of their favorite games were?
Yeah, I think Marcus looked through some of it as well.
Okay, thank you, folks, so much for that. I really do appreciate it. We narrowed it down to a list, including titles like Earth Defense Force, Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door, but we ultimately decided on Jack 2. And even though I'm sure Marcus would have probably preferred Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door.
I mean, hey, I just like good games, all right? That's all I'm trying to say.
Wow, cutting deep.
I'll take the hit on this one. So, because I leaned towards Jack on this, and I shouldn't have.
Yeah, it's Chris's fault.
It happens. But yeah, I mean, this I think this is my I've played this game several times over the past 20 pl plus years. It was originally released back in 2003 and was quite a departure from its predecessor, which was a very collectathon kids focused platformer. And Jack 2 kind of threw all of that off a cliff and decided to go in a steampunk kind of a gritty dark direction, kind of like a lot of superheroes at the time. And yeah, I mean, for the most part, it was a very, for me personally, I wasn't even 13 when this game originally came out, but
You were the perfect age, though, right?
oh yeah, no, I think it was marketed directly for me. But yeah, it's definitely got its issues. We'll get into some of the aiming stuff, and in particular, the difficulty curve can definitely ratchet, no pun intended, ratchet up.
Whoa.
Yeah, but
Careful.
Who's that?
don't taint Ratchet's good name. No. Well, I know that's probably something Chris would say at the very least.
Yeah, I prefer Ratchet over all of Sony's platformers, so
I mean,
About
I think
Gex?
that Jack and Daxter are more appealing designs, at least initially. Ratchet and Clank clearly like figure their stuff out later on, but I think Ratchet's clearly a better game, in my opinion.
Yeah, Insomniac. I mean, it's because like the three big platforming titles for Sony's PS2 generation were the Sly Cooper games, Jack and Daxter, and Ratchet and Clank. And yeah, while I think all of them are really good across the board, I think probably Sly and Ratchet have probably aged a bit better. So that's unfortunate. But then again, Sly and Ratchet have had chances to kind of quote unquote go back to the drawing board and have, you know, iterations after, you know, the year 2010. Whereas Jack has kind of been, while there was Daxter in 2006, there was a Lost Frontier spinoff game that was released by a studio that was started by ex-Naughty Dog folks. It was definitely not as well received and has kind of been what's the word when a franchise is kind of like dormant?
It's the dead franchise. It's dead. That's the word you're looking
Abandoned.
For.
Abandoned. Yeah. Forgotten,
currently not lost.
Dormant is probably what you were going for, but no, the other B word was right.
You know what's funny? You know, you brought up Sly Cooper, which I totally forgot about, and I think for me personally, Jak and Daxter 1 and Sly Cooper 1 are by far like my favorites of their franchises, and I think it's because the simplicity, like they're very straightforward collectathon platformers. They don't try to. Like Jak 2, actually, I forget which Naughty Dog like making of documentary it was. It probably was a Last of Us thing or something, but I don't know, maybe. But they were talking about like back in the day what led them to make Jak 2 the way they did is because GTA 3 came out and set the industry on fire. Yeah,
that's what I was going to mention, because at the time I, you know, wasn't exactly the age or the maturity level to play a game like Grand Theft Auto 3. So my first exposure to kind of like open worlds, the GTA kind of game design was through Jak 2. So I think it came off as more revolutionary to me as opposed to probably the rest of y'all who were playing Grand Theft Auto 3 at the time.
Well, I mean, playing Jak 2 even now, like, I respect the big swing that it is. Like, it's an ambitious game. Like, let's make an open world 3D platformer where you literally drive and walk or walk to the big platforming sections in the different areas. And there's like a big interconnected world where you take on missions. Like, they really tried to do something big with this game. I just think they didn't have the stuff yet. Like Naughty Dog, especially, like, I think they were really leaning on like cutscenes to like really engage the player, and like the voice acting and the animation is just not there for me. It's so stilted and clunky and weird, and I'm just like not I don't know. I think Jak 2 is kind of a disaster, but I respect the big swing.
Okay. No, and I mean, that's, I guess, a fair point, but I feel like without Jak 2, without Jak 3, we wouldn't have gotten the Uncharted games, and I mean, the development of Jak... Yeah.
It's a straight line like that?
It's a straight line. I mean, like, I think they were trying to embrace a more, like, cinematic storytelling perspective, and I think that their experiences with kind of the Jak series allowed them to create Uncharted, and even Uncharted was a bit of a proof of concept, and I feel like it was the potential of the series wasn't fully kind of utilized until Uncharted 2, which was the one that maybe not set the world on fire, but is probably the most popular entry in the entire series.
Dude, I think that you can easily like see the DNA of Naughty Dog's like output, like going through each game, like if you want to find some Jak 2 in like Uncharted 4. It's those open areas with the Jeep and just like the, obviously the shooting stuff. But I think that Naughty Dog learned a lot with each game and carried that forward. Even just like the color palette of all their games, like Crash Bandicoot carries into Jak and Daxter, carries into Uncharted. Like, I don't know. I can see the Naughty Dog behind it all.
Yeah, and I mean, like, in a very real sense, The Last of Us came about because they were starting development on a Jak 4, and they were kind of going in more of the horror-inspired direction, and then they just, they were like, we don't know if this is a great fit for the world of Jak and Daxter, and kind of, you know, it started with, you know, Joel and, why am I forgetting the girl's name, who's the Ellie. Entire Lynch?
Ellie.
Yeah. So,
You reminded me that, like, another thing about Jak 2 that really doesn't work for me is, like, I did like the characters in the first game, and coming into Jak 2, they take such a departure like right off the bat, the first thing Jack does is like choke somebody and say, "I'm gonna kill whoever," and it's he was a silent protagonist in the first game, so this is like your first real introduction to him as a character, and it's just not appealing at all. It's just like, ugh.
Oh no, he's a dick, but I mean, yeah, he's also been tortured for 2 years, so I feel like, sure, that would do a number on anybody's personality.
It's going for that like early 2000s cool, edgy, dark shit.
It's Underworld, this felt like Underworld.
What, with
you made him a little vampire? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Sure.
Meanwhile, Dexter is just an obnoxious creep.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, I
and
like
then
that.
they try to be goofy too, like with Jack, like at certain points, and it's like, this is not consistent. It's not motivated. I'm not charmed. I don't know.
There's some moments where they try to give Jack more of a, show his humanity. Just be like, oh, where would you be without me, Dexter? And then just Dexter being like, well, I wouldn't be furry. I wouldn't be stuck in a steampunk future. You know, just starts to list off all the... But yeah, I think in general, he's just revenge bent this entire game. And he's... he's a selfish arse, and I think Dexter and some of the side characters that get introduced have to pick up the slack, because, yeah, he's a very one-dimensional character, at least for this game.
Yeah. I think the question is
an annoying cartoon throughout the game, too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, whatever you're going to say, you can finish your thought. I was going to divert to something else.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, my wife, she likes watching me play platformers in particular, and even she wasn't the biggest fan of Dexter, which, yeah, I mean, I'm slightly biased because, you know, my username is literally Dexter23Jack, so, yeah, I've got some... Rosy introspection.
Some nostalgia for him too, though. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I had not played Jack and Daxter before we set out on this. Like maybe the first couple levels at most. Like I played all the way through Precursor Legacy and then this one, and then this one starts and he's like ogling woman's breasts and sexist comments, and it's like, oh wow, he is like, he's a horny 12-year-old, like.
Oh yeah, he is very vulgar and treats Ashley pretty chauvinistically. I'm honestly surprised she didn't just kick him off a cliff.
It's because the game was written by men in the 2000s.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so there's some elements that are pretty dicey, but yeah, I feel like Dexter gets slightly less worse as the series goes on, because I played Jack and Dexter, Jack 2, Jack 3, and Jack X Combat Racing all relatively back-to-back.
Yeah.
And I feel like the writing gets better as the series goes on, and Dexter, honestly, like, in the third game, I mean, he can still be annoying, but, you know, he's in a committed relationship with his girlfriend who get spoiler,
I don't know,
but
actually, what do you mean? Yeah, tell me.
You know that blonde girl who works for the resistance that is also working undercover at Cruz Bar?
At the bar.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah,
I like,
well,
where this is going.
Magic,
this is some like,
she gets,
this is some donkey and the dragon in Trek, man. Like, shit that shouldn't happen.
She gets turned into an Otzel as well at the end of Jack
3. Okay. So it's not as not human weird squirrel creature.
Well, technically, Dexter is a elf human underneath all that. Doesn't Dexter deserve love?
Sure.
No.
I mean, I don't. I don't think that Dexter shouldn't be. I think Dexter should be annoying. I think Dexter should, like, even in best case scenario, if they did make that Jack 4, you got to preserve that aspect of the character. But obviously, I think they can do better than Jack 2. And I hear that Jack 3 is much better. I haven't actually played it, but That would be.
I think I would recommend it. They add some like Mad Max vibes to it.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I played through all of the Jak and Daxter series like a handful of years ago, and Jak 3 ended up being the one I liked the most. Like, that's weirdly, I think, the best in the series.
Nice. Yeah, and I think like a big open Mad Max environment suits it much better than a really tight, like overfilled city where your car is just smashing into everything. That's so annoying.
Yeah, and
all the time.
This is one of those games where I feel like it's almost like for some of the challenges in particular, but even some of the missions, like navigating the city without accidentally hitting a Crimson Guard or a civil citizen, it's bad. It's
the very first time trial, and I just tried it like 6 times, and I kept hitting walls or randomly generated enemies would show up, and then all the cops were after me. I was just like, I'm not doing this. I'm just not going to do it. Like, I hate this.
That's fair. That's kind of how I played it the first time I picked up the game as well. I didn't really bother with any of the precursor orb stuff. So, but yeah, no. Just a fun fact. When I was playing the GTA 3 kind of inspiration homage, In Jak X Combat Racing, there's a secret unlockable called Hot Coffee.
Nice.
No, and I just like, I was like, huh, what's this? So I pick it up, and it's just like him and his Otzel girlfriend being cutesy. And then Daxter just looks at the screen. He's got a cup of coffee in his hands, and he's just like, what? And then the scene ends. So I feel like the series does know how to have fun with itself, but yeah, definitely it's ambitious, but definitely falls short in more than a couple of locations. But Ben, since besides myself, it seems like you're most familiar with the series, I kind of wanted to hand things off to you. Could you give a basic overview of the story for Jak 2? I can do it if you need me to.
No, I can try and sum it up. I guess the story is they find this sort of portal thing, which was a precursor artifact, and turn it on. And the portal sends them to a futuristic city. And then it ends up that what they think was like some other world ends up being their world in the future. And then they find Jak. They find Jak, who turns out to be the ancestor of Mar, which is like the king of the world, or a former hero, the founder of Haven City. And then they basically have to they're trying to send him back in time to like reset, so Jak from the future can get there. The time travel stuff gets muddy. That's the part where I don't quite remember what's going on.
Yeah, it can be convoluted. Basically, Jak 2 is a resistance / revenge story. It takes Daxter 2 years to rescue Jak, and Jack's been pumped with dark ego, basically oil from the first game. And now he can Hulk out and turn into this vampire-like creature when he absorbs a certain amount of dark ego, and he's a lot angrier than he was before. And the entire game kind of revolves around Jak working with the Resistance, including people like Torin, the leader of the Resistance, the Shadow's the leader of the Resistance. Torin is kind of just like the commander, like the general. But
is he the traitor?
Yeah, he ended up betraying everybody to save Ashley's life because he's got a thing for her.
Jack's dark form is basically a werehog.
It is.
Yep.
That's about right. But it wasn't
as useless in the Sonic games, right? Because like I feel like in this game, I would use it for, I don't know, 3 seconds and then you're done.
Yeah. I never wanted
to.
I forgot I had that ability most of the time.
Dang. I feel like most of the time you activate it accidentally because it's on like one of the trigger buttons.
Yes.
And then, like, you can get rid of it quickly by doing, like, a jump and then a melee attack, which makes you do a dark bomb, which gets rid of all the energy at once and all the enemies in the area. So, at least you don't have to deal with it for too long. But, yeah, I think one thing I liked about the original Jak and Daxter that really wasn't as reflected here was, you know, the original Jak and Daxter had, like, several different types of eco. It had blue eco, which made you go fast. It had yellow eco, which was kind of like your, you know, it allowed you to fire, like, energy blasts a la Dragon Ball Z. And then you also had red eco, which, you know, powered you up and allowed you to do a bunch of, like, cool melee attacks. And in this one, they're just like, oh, yeah, we're just going to have green Ingo, which is basically health packs, and we are going to have dark Eco, so you can be dark and gritty.
And yeah, get a gun.
Oh, the gun, yep. Yeah. Ammo.
Yeah.
I was like, and this is years ago when I first played this game, or first tried it, I didn't finish it, but coming off of the first game, which I adored, I was, like, so turned off by the idea that, like, the precursor orbs, which were essentially, like, stars in like, the 3D Mario games. Like, those are the main collectible. They're, like, a big deal. And then now precursor orbs are just, like, nothing, like a coin that you'd pick up that was tucked behind some boxes in the corner. You know, like, there's no pomp or circumstance. It wasn't, like, a celebration when you found one. It was like, oh yeah, there's another one. Like, I don't know, I hated
yeah
that.
It's it really it's secret me. Currency. It's like, ooh, do you want to play as, you know, with big head mode or small head mode?
Yeah,
and you needed them in the first one to, like, unlock the next area, right? Like, you needed to collect a certain amount of them. Yeah,
well, yeah, the stars were something called power cells, and then the precursor orbs were, like, the currency you would use to buy power cells from, like, NPCs in the environment. So yeah,
right,
basically
the
in the first
yeah.
In the first game, you apparently collected most of them. So now there's only, like, 200 of them left in this entire huge city. But yeah, no. I mean, like I said, resistance story, time convoluted stuff that gets thrown in there. As Ben said, Jak turns out to be the long lost prince of Haven City, who the Baron Praxis kind of stole control of the city from after Mar was banished. Or not Mar. I'm forgetting. Jack's dad makes an appearance in the third game. He gets banished, and basically throughout the game, Jack's younger self is the prince, is needing to be looked after. And meanwhile, you know, in this steampunk city, they're dealing with these, like, monsters / aliens called metalheads that are trying to, who are kind of like a hive mind structure that are trying to take over the city. So there's, you know, a couple of different enemy factions going on. And yeah, the game results with Jak deciding to stay in the future along with Kira, Samos, and Daxter, sending his past self back to the past so he can save the future. And yeah, kind of just ends on a note with Daxter taking over the bar that Crew ran, and sky's the limits, I suppose. So yeah, it sounds like everybody else wasn't as high on the story as I was, but then again, nostalgia, rosy introspection.
Wait, you were still high on it in 2025?
There were elements that were, yes.
Because, like, I get liking it as a kid. Like, I'm 100% like on board with you, because it's one of those games, had I played it back in the PS2 days, I would have loved it. And it reeks of PS2 all over the place, this game. But I would have liked that story too, even if it's just like a, oh god, it's like Teen Nick, like that sort of era of TV where it's like, it's not quite the little baby shows, but it's pretty dang close.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I buy that, like, that like, because it's a PS2 era game, you, like, it, the jank is, like, fine. Like, there's so many PS2 games that I think hold up so well today. I don't know, like, just to play. I found this game incredibly frustrating. And then the cutscenes were just, they did nothing for me. I don't know. I didn't enjoy this game much, but I'm glad some of you did.
Yeah, so we've kind of talked the story into the ground at this point. Let's move on to the gameplay, which, you know, as several of you have already mentioned, it's reminiscent of the Grand Theft Auto games. It's got a mission-based structure. Usually they'll send you to a location to do platforming or to clear out an area of, like, enemies. And kind of just, that's how most of the game progresses. And then at a certain point, they give Jack guns, but unlike, I guess, at the time, you know, like a traditional dual-stick shooter design wasn't really established, so the shooting is very, I don't want to say freeform. It's very all over the. It's very all over bad. The place. Where
it's very bad. Yeah. No, you're close. You almost had that.
Imagine shooting without seeing what you're aiming at.
Lots of automatic aiming, and it gets to the point where, like, you can do this move where you jump and you do your spinning attack. And, like, if you fire your gun in the air when you do that, it'll automatically lock on to, like, the target closest to you. And I use that to get through the latter half of the game. It's, yeah, there's lots of issues with it, and they really improved it for Uncharted.
You know, what's strange to me also is I feel like the platforming is just much worse than the original. And I don't know how that's possible, because it's the same developers and the a sequel to the game. Like, I don't know. Maybe I need to go back to the original and double check that. But, like, I really enjoyed it when I played it back in the day.
I just played it, Javi. I did not.
Oh, no.
I see why. Like, I think the controls are basically the same. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
go ahead, Dax.
Oh, I was just going to say, I feel like I said earlier, Jack 2 is very ambitious, and I feel like it's also an outcome that came from them trying to do too many things at once, because, hey, there's a skateboarding game in this game, and then there's driving elements, and then there's shooting, and then there's platforming, and I think they were kind of spread thin, so that might also contribute to Hobby's sense that the platforming was better in the first game, because I would say it was definitely more of a focus.
Oh, I mean, it's the focus in the first game.
There's a lot of
in terms of controls, but in terms of, like, the environment, because platforming's more than just basic platforming control.
Yeah.
The shooting almost feels like. It feels like the first Ratchet and Clank game where they kind of didn't figure it out. But, like, I think by Ratchet 2 and definitely by Ratchet 3, they kind of locked into, like there's no strafe in this game, which is so bizarre to me. Because even Ratchet and Clank was doing strafing at the exact same time that these games were being made. So it's weird that they didn't figure that out.
Yeah, and I mean, like, speaking of, you know, Insomniac and Ratchet and Clank, they helped Naughty Dog kind of with elements of this game, and you'll see.
Help enough.
They could only do so much. I mean, what are they supposed to pick up Naughty Dog's room?
Yeah,
they could only show Naughty Dog the door, and Naughty Dog had to walk through it.
Right. No, but sorry, what did they do? How did they help?
Oh, they helped with kind of the technical limitations that Naughty Dog was facing on the PS2. They kind of helped Naughty Dog kind of surpass some of those technical barriers. And both Jack 2 and Ratchet and Clank 2 Going Commando both have, like, homages to each other, or it'll be like, oh, you know, like Ratchet and Clank get to a collectible object and they do, like, the dance from Jack and Daxter, or there's Jack Banners in that game, and in this game there's stuff like there's a Ratchet and Clank gun course, and they have got some homages to Ratchet and Clank and other places as well. So,
and there's a billboard of Ratchet and Clank in the city. You can just see it driving around sometimes.
Yeah. So yeah, no. But I cut you off earlier, Chris, so I apologize about that. What were you saying?
Forget. Sorry.
No,
Is it something about how the platforming in the first one was bad too?
No, I mean it was just it, like that's what the focus was in the first one. It's just, I didn't feel that it controlled particularly well, and that carried over to here. Some of it is just, and this is something like I've kind of realized over the last little bit, is like games from, 20, 25 years ago, just they were very set in how they controlled. Like we hadn't come to a standard for everything yet, so everybody kind of had their own shit going on. So like Jack feels a little bit different than Ratchet does, and that feels a little different than Sly Cooper does as well, because each of these three were kind of doing their own thing. And I feel, to me at least, Jack was the one that controlled the worst out of those three, which were all being made at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, so an example of the like bad feeling controls, I guess, in regards to the platforming is like, that first area you go into, it's like there's like a water pump or something, and like it ends with Daxter like trying to turn the wheel, and then he gets sucked into the whole thing or whatever. But like that whole area, I'm trying to like employ the roll forward and then the leap out of it. That's like the long jump. And it always felt like the leap out of it came so late and it didn't feel good. And half the time I would just end up rolling over the edge, or the jump didn't happen at all. And then the walk of shame all the way around the island back to the beginning to go up the two pistons that are slowly going up and down. Like I did that more times than I'd like to admit. And I'm like, I hate this. Like, why is this control so poorly? Like, I don't
The
know.
lack of checkpoints too. My
No.
God, they're so far spaced. Like,
Yeah, God forbid you if you yeet yourself off certain parts of the level. I think in particular there's a sewer mission where crew task you with, well, one, it's an escort mission, which yay, that's
yay.
that, and the mech suit parts of the game are probably the worst parts. Now that's coming from me. Those are really, really bad parts of the game.
Well, and there was, I think it was similar to like that mech part, the mech suit part where you're underwater, where you do like an escape from a sort of boss enemy after you have to like escort a dude around.
Was the spider?
Yeah, the
When
spider.
oh my God, I hated that part so bad.
It because like you do so many chunks of it and you think, ah, oh, surely it's saved after this, and no,
Yeah.
you're sent to the beginning. It's ridiculous.
It's like, yeah, the game just it requires perfection of like so many aspects, and it's like, this is frustrating because I've done this turret sequence now 17 times and I'm not enjoying it. I'm just going to shut it off for the night. Come back tomorrow, and like, it's you probably all had that instance where you shut something off and you come back the next day and you hit it the first time, but it's that 17th time you did it, you want to throw your controller through your television.
Yeah. No, can't argue with that. Yeah, the checkpoints in this game are really, really bad. And if it's any consolation, I don't know if you'll even be willing to give Jack 3 a chance after this hobby, but Jack 3 is a lot more forgiving. Checkpoints are a lot better, and I feel like it has more platforming DNA in it and driving DNA. So.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, this has solidified, because like this is not my first time trying to make my way through the trilogy, and I wasn't trying to get through the trilogy. I was just playing two this time, but I always hit a wall when I start Jack 2. Like I get to just after you get the gun, and I'm like, I don't like any of this. Like everything leading up to it was like really janky and uncomfortable at best, and then like I just wasn't vibing with it. So like, yeah, this re most recent playthrough, I'm like, if I ever do decide to like revisit the Jack series, I'm just skipping two entirely. Like, I think that because otherwise I'll just never get to three, and I need to give it a shot someday. But that is the plan.
Okay.
What did you guys feel about the traversing the open world to get to the missions?
the worst. Where's my fast travel? Where's my GPS? Where's my being able to navigate a world without being in constant misery?
Like, the map is so... It's a nightmare. Like, the way the city is designed. It's like just... And so it's like, where am I turning? Oh my god! Why? I've run over a fucking guard again. Now everyone's chasing me.
Yeah. It's... I don't know what they were thinking. It begs the question, like, did they play this game when they were making it? Like, because they couldn't have had a good time.
Like, so, I'm speaking as somebody who's only played Grand Theft Auto 4 and 5, but, like, the PS2 Grand Theft Auto games, I don't know, like, when's the last time you actually tried playing those, but, like, traversing that world a lot better, I'm assuming?
I played 3 when the remasters came out, that trilogy remaster, and it doesn't feel like you can do things and the cops will eventually chase you, but it's not like, oh, I tapped this thing, I ran over a pedestrian, and now every cop in the city is chasing me.
In those games, the only way to get the cops to chase you is either run over a cop or smash into their car, or just like run over a ton of people while a cop is there. That's
and those are the only they're not everywhere, right?
Right.
These guards are everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's different levels of wanted. So like if you're at the very beginning, just one cop will be chasing you and you can easily, hide.
Yeah, but I think Jack 2 really has something to say about authoritarian regimes and military dictatorships. So I think that's why there's so many. Yeah. No.
It's and really also, immersive.
and here's another difference, Dax. So the roads in like GTA 3, Vice City, San Andreas, there's like space for cars.
There's room, and people, yes.
And yeah. There's lanes, and there's just you can maneuver them.
There's landmarks.
People actually use the sidewalk.
And you can like turn your vehicle without coming to a complete stop. Because otherwise you'll just slide into everything and then explode.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
I know there's a lot bad to say about the driving, but I do like the like hover zones. Like you can go
cool foot idea. Level. I like that.
But yeah, the implementation of it is poor, rusty at best, and horrendous at worst.
It's just so congested, and then it's made even worse by how slippery every vehicle is. Like, there's nothing feels good, right? If you had, like, really nice pinpoint precision, maybe this design would be kind of challenging and fun and satisfying to, like, weave in and out, go up and down and all that. But, like, man, you have to account for so much with your car.
Yeah, I got to a point where, eventually you get, like, the hoverboard type thing, so like I would either use that, which if you still run into a guard they'll chase you, but at least the hoverboard controls a little bit better.
You know what makes all this just a little bit worse is the music in the city. It's just like the bum 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 bum, and I'm like, oh man, that drives me crazy. I hate it.
Yeah, at least GTA has a really good soundtrack.
Yeah.
I guess this is the bad time to mention that sometimes, like, when I'm trying to do work or fall asleep, I'll put on Jack and Daxter ambient soundtrack and Haven City's one.
Share that with your therapist. Please tell your therapist about this. This isn't right.
It would just make me angry.
But Marcus, I am a therapist.
Oh, no. That's so funny.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just... it's good for like when I need to pay attention, but like I said, I've got nostalgia attached to it, and it's just it's everywhere. It's like there's not really like in the original Jak and Daxter there were zones, like it'd be like, oh, let's go to the Forbidden Forest or Sentinel Beach or that sort of thing, and each different area would have a different soundtrack, and I think the soundtrack in Jak and Daxter was a lot better.
Boom, 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 boom.
So Dax, this is for you first and foremost, but definitely for the rest of the people. Confession to make, I am a Nintendo fanboy in recovery. So in the GameCube era, when we're coming off of that dismal 64 era and offerings. I had a similar story to you where it's like, yeah, I couldn't really play Grand Theft Auto right away. And this was more so because I didn't have a PS2. And so my exposure to that was The Simpsons Hit and Run. And nice. I feel like it's a similar thing where it's like, yeah, it's not, you know, I'm sure it doesn't hold up particularly well today and was really buoyed by all the Simpsons references and bits in the game. But strictly comparing my memory of that game to this, I remember having fun with that game. Did you ever play that?
I tried to. I picked it up used a couple years ago, and I tried playing it, and I don't think I got put more than an hour into the game. I've heard very good things about Simpsons Hit and Run. It just didn't stick for me, for whatever reason. Gotcha. I like The Simpsons, too, so...
Oh, that's weird. Okay, this is, at first I was like, oh, that makes sense. You know, hey, it's not your thing. But then liking the show and that not being your thing, that's a little bit stranger. But if you only picked it recently, that also makes sense. It's old.
Isn't Hit and Run more like Crazy Taxi than Grand Theft Auto, though?
Well, that was Road, whatever the first one was.
Yeah,
Road,
oh, maybe I picked the wrong game. Shit.
Road Rage, is that?
I think so. I get that confused with Road Rash because that was awesome.
Road Rash is great.
Yeah, Road Rage it is. Yeah.
Okay, let me look at my.
That
games
one's Crazy Taxi. Hit and Run is GTA. Although, like GTA is very heavy on the you're in a car trying to get to a certain destination before the time limit runs out, and that is Simpsons Hit and Run as well.
But, I mean, like in defense of Jack 2, I think a lot of the mission design is in like it's the same as a lot of other like open world PS2 games. It's just the design of the cities is really the main problem, I think.
Yeah. Well, and the controls of your vehicle, like the fundamentals of what makes those games work is what's wrong.
But yeah,
I guess oh, sorry. I should say for the rest of y'all who did play Hit and Run, like, is it just, you know, the rose tinted goggles or glasses? And that game was also just as bad as this, or was it more playable?
I think it was way more playable than Jack 2, that's for sure. But it definitely has that, you know, PlayStation 2 era like difficulty. Like, it's pretty brutal right off the bat. It's a lot of, you know, oh, you're like 2 seconds too late to reach the destination, do the entire mission all over again. Yeah. So there's a lot of that. But I do think that like, if you have an affinity for The Simpsons, like being able to drive around the entire, all of Springfield and like go into like the Quickie Mart and like see the interior. And I don't know, there's something like really magical about having that whole world in a bottle that way. But you know, it's not like amazing. It's just really cool for if you're into that.
Fair.
Oh, and just out of curiosity, I just want to see your guys's hear your guys's reaction to this. But for those who haven't played Jack 3, do you guys know who the main antagonist of Jack 3 is?
No.
Is it Daxter?
No. Evil Daxter? That'd be great. No, that's the spin-off game on the PC, Lost Frontier. That's when
really? Are you serious?
He's not evil, but that's when they introduced Dark Daxter.
Okay. Dark Daxter. Hell yeah.
No, but you know how Errol, you know, he's basically just, I guess, Jack's love interest and kind of just like, just this antagonistic guy that you race against occasionally? And then he ends up killing himself by driving into, you know, canisters of dark ego, essentially like gas fuel. Yeah, they bring him back for Jack 3 and they're like, yeah, he's evil. He's the mastermind. He's going to try and take over the planet. So that's the one thing about Jack 3 that just always boggles my mind. Like, why would you bring back this unlikable character? And they're like, yeah. Oh yeah, he almost died from this, and then he's able to make connections that allow him to take control of a KGB Crimson Guard robot factory. It's completely off the walls.
Oh, I feel like you should have kept this information from us. That makes me less likely to play that now. What are they thinking?
Well, okay, there's a better antagonist, but he kind of, they don't make him the final boss. He's the person who exiles Jack to the desert. He's kind of like this preacher kind of guy. He's a lot better. But they end up going with Errol for some reason.
I'm glad that Naughty Dog, like, got it together by Uncharted.
Well, some would argue they didn't get it together Uncharted 2, yeah. But they got better and better.
But, yeah, no. We touched on kind of the repetitive nature of the music, but I know it's a 2003 PS2 game, but voice acting, how was it for y'all?
I mean, they had some big names. And I'll give them that.
Big names are nice.
I didn't even notice any big names. What? Who?
Matthew Brown.
Oh, okay.
He's the Baron, right? Is that's the guy in charge of the city?
Okay. I thought you were talking about Daxter. I'm like, yes, he's the character from Doogie Howser. Not the main character, the side character.
Ooh, big name.
No idea what that is.
I thought that's what you were referring to. Doogie Howser, the vehicle for Neil Patrick Harris?
No. Sorry, I meant specifically the sidekick in that. I didn't realize there was a sidekick in that series.
Yeah, he had
very
little knowledge
of it.
He had a teenage friend who was just normal, and they're right next to Doogie Howser, who's, you know, this a medical doctor at the age of, I think, 15?
Yeah, who could forget? Like that.
But yeah, I'm trying to think who else was in this game. I'm going through IMDb. There's Max Casella, that character.
Matt Castellaneta? Is that who you're saying? Because that's the voice of Homer Simpson. Okay.
No. Yeah.
Well, Max Casella is he's the Doogie Howser sidekick guy.
Oh,
yeah.
That's less exciting.
Love that guy so much, Dax.
Sig is voiced by Phil Lamar.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
He's good.
He's Vamp in Metal Gear Solid.
Oh,
he's
he
was a cast member on Mad TV back in the day.
He's been a ton of things.
Oh yeah, his history, just Futurama.
Right.
Yeah. No. I wasn't his original role in Pulp Fiction.
Yes. Yes.
He's the guy who got shot in that movie.
Uh huh.
Marvin.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But
stupidest death scene. He just goes into the back to ask him a question about hamburgers, I think, and accidentally shoots him. It's so bad. But yeah. Anywho. At the very least, they didn't kill off the black character at the end of this game. That was very progressive of you, Jack, too.
Was it, though? Because it was such a weird, like, and I'm back, too. Like, all right. Hey, bud. I'm glad you're alive. It was still corny, man.
And the only person that died besides the antagonist was that nerd from the power station.
Who?
Who could forget?
I think I remember who he's talking about. It's like,
but he died. I thought he just like left the screen for a while.
I didn't realize he died.
He got torn apart by metalheads after Core sicked them on the power facility. Yeah,
I wish it was brutal.
Well, it was over the radio. I don't know if you could hear it, but he was just like, "Oh my God, they're at the door."
Yeah, I probably had a podcast running, so I didn't have to listen to the game.
But yeah, no. Let's see. We've gone over. Yeah, I guess before we wrap things up, any final thoughts on Jack 2?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was just gonna apologize to Dax. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we spent 45 minutes trashing this game.
Oh no, and I'm sorry if I'm coming across as a fangirl/boy on this matter. I'm trying to reel myself in check.
I'm glad you like it. I am glad that you enjoy it and still find enjoyment in it. I wish that I had that level for it. It did not click for me. What were you going to say, Marcus?
Oh, I just wanted to say, been shitting on it a lot, and it's been really great. It's been real cathartic to get this out all over this fucking game. But, you know, like I had sort of mentioned a little bit before, it to me feels like that PS2, like you were saying, Tony Hawk was big around this time. We have skating in here for some reason. It's like, well, that's cool. Like, I like the ideas that they threw at the wall with this thing. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff that they thought of. I just wish they, you know, knew how to put it in the game. I don't know if the development cycle on this was rushed or something, but, you know, maybe let them cook like a lot longer.
22 I months it was, between it, Jack 1 and Jack 2.
They made it in 2 months? Yeah, 20, that makes 20, sense.
20, 22. 22 months.
2 months.
Yeah. No, and I think you also have to keep in mind just development cycles have changed so much because between the years of 2001 and 2006, 5 Jack games were released. Granted, one of those games was by a non-Naughty Dog studio that went on to do the PSP God of War games.
Ready at Dawn.
Ready at Dawn.
Ready at Dawn. They did the Order 1986. Yes.
Hey.
I'm such a fan of that game. I love that game. I'm going to make you all play.
Just like in the span of 5 years. In the span of 5, I'd honestly be down for that as well. But in the span of 5 years, they put out like 5 Jack and Daxter games. There wasn't a ton of development time, so they didn't. Whereas, like, you look at what was it? The gap between The Last of Us and The Last of Us Part 2 was like 7 years. So things have changed so dramatically.
The Last of Us Part 2 and what Naughty Dog has released. Oh, they haven't. They just keep re-releasing The Last of Us.
The gap between The Last of Us Part 2 and The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered was 7 years. Yeah.
I mean, Naughty Dog has found itself as like the perfect example of like the high stakes game, the highest stakes of the games industry right now. And it's just not sustainable. And even like Insomniac, it sucks that these two studios that were so intertwined have found themselves in the same situation. Cause like Insomniac had those layoffs despite Spider-Man 2 breaking records. And it's like, you cannot win it. This doesn't work. And yet they continue. So, I wish that, like, remember when Ratchet and Clank had those like Quest for Booty, those little bite-sized games that were like not
4 hours
huge things. I mean, I guess they did. Insomniac continued experimenting with that when they did Miles Morales, which I think is the best of the Spider-Man games. I like that it's short. I like that it's concise. I would agree with that,
and they also kind of did that with what was it? We played the game for this podcast, Into the Nexus.
Into the Nexus one. They did like Full Frontal Assault. So they've always made like small little games.
Yeah.
There's like a weird alternate universe where like Naughty Dog did keep making Jack games, and we'd be on like, you know, the 8th or 9th Jack and Daxter game, and maybe they would have, like, in the PS3 and into PS4 era, they would have, like, refined the controls a bit, and it'd be, like, a completely different experience, but, that didn't happen.
I mean, if you look at these two studios next to each other, like, I by far prefer what Insomniac has done, because they've continued to grow just like Naughty Dog has, and, like, innovate and make big, ambitious titles, but they haven't like abandoned where they came from, where Naughty Dog's like almost embarrassed about the Jack franchise. They're like, we're never doing that. We're never going back to that. It would be a waste of our time. And it's like, no, man, you guys could show us what a Jack game looks like now from you. Like, that would be nuts. And I would love to see it.
I'd rather do Uncharted again.
I would do another Uncharted.
I mean,
keeps throwing me Ratchet and Clank like treats every few years.
No, and just the development pipeline, like you were saying, Javi, has gotten extremely messed up in recent years because just so much effort and just resources have to be pumped into AAA titles that
they have to, it feels like they have to be a surefire hit or they won't recoup their costs. So I think part of it is just like, why would we do a Jack 4 or a reboot of the Jack franchise when we could release another Last of Us and get our return, you know, twelvefold, especially because of, you know, the HBO show.
And a surefire hit.
Unless you make it games as a service that doesn't come out.
Right. Well, and a surefire hit is often not even enough, right? Like these games come out and everybody's
playing them.
Yeah, I mean,
like Spider-Man's pretty much as surefire as you can get, and they barely just recuperated their costs. It was pretty bad, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It just wasn't enough. And like, what do y'all expect to happen? You know, you think like new gamers are like the amount of the player base is going to quadruple to like fit what you need to happen to like be successful. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And I think it's just business has gotten so big and they've seen such success and such growth year over year that they basically their mission is to continue that growth forever. And that's not how the world works. Yep. And the idea
that's
of like making
still works perpetual growth.
And I think that when business is that big, the idea of scaling back and making like you're making Astrobot and having Astrobot be a perfectly fine, moderate success where it makes profit, right? You spend a little, you make a good amount of money back and it's profitable. A big business looks at that and goes, who cares about that? That's like a fraction of a percentage when we're looking at these monstrous, you know, revenues that we're seeing elsewhere. And it's like really gross, but I think that's more of a symptom of like being public, like a public business. Like you need to continuously please investors. So maybe that's the real problem.
Capitalism. And the immortal words of Sonic the Hedgehog, I want shorter games with worse graphics made by people who are paid more to work less. And I'm not kidding.
Yeah. And I you know, I've seen a lot of people like dunk on that quote and say, oh, that makes my eyes roll and I'm sick of people saying it, but like it's true though. Like, you know, I know that people have overused that image and that quote, but like it's the only route forward. You'd get better games and more games and people wouldn't lose their jobs.
Speaking as somebody who's been in the games industry, so you've experienced the detrimental effects of that, you know, endless growth cycle for a firsthand too.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah.
Jack 2.
Yes. Let's go back to the bright and happy game of 2003. But yeah, no, I think with that, unless anybody had anything else to say, final thoughts on Jack 2?
I might try Jack 3 because I guess I hate myself. But
I'll say this about Jack 3. The opening in the big desert, like the first mission is like you in this like big dune buggy and you have to like go around and kill these like huge sand monsters, and after like playing Jack 2 to Jack 3, I'm like, oh, this is way more fun than any mission I did in Jack 2.
Nice.
That sounds fun.
I will say like a good like I can empathize or sympathize, whatever is the correct one, with Dax here, that like you like Jack 2 despite all its issues, and I can definitely see myself in there when it comes to like Mario Sunshine. Like I will go to bat for Mario Sunshine, and I understand that it's kind of busted and like a mess of a game.
Javi, I'm right there with you. I will. I'm a Sunshine defender, so don't worry. You don't have to explain yourself to me.
The Jack 2 defenders on your side, Javi.
Oh no.
Oh, God, maybe I'm wrong. No, but yeah, no. I mean, you're right. There's a lot about Jack 2. I think it's overly ambitious. Driving, navigating the world can be tough. The aiming controls are all over the place, and it definitely tries very hard to be edgy, which is kind of funny, but it also sometimes it's like, oh, you didn't have to try that hard. But yeah, I guess Ben, this is your first time revisiting it here in like 5 or 6 years. How was your experience with the game?
Yeah, I mean it definitely shows its age for sure. All right, I elements of it, because I revisited it around the same time those GTA, like that GTA collection of all the PS2 GTA games. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of the mission structure in this game is not that dissimilar to what you do in like the GTA games. It's just kind of like we said before, it's just everything in GTA is just the controls are tighter, soundtrack's better. Like, you know, like this game isn't that far away from what other things in it, you know, other contemporary games of that time were doing. It just, a lot of them just did stuff, you know, everything is just like not quite as tight as it should be, not quite as together as you want it to be. And like that definitely holds it back, unfortunately. But yeah, I don't know, the aesthetics of it are still, I do think the aesthetics of like the Jack series is, you know, maybe more interesting than some of the other PlayStation era platformers. But yeah, ultimately I think it just kind of showed stage.
Fair enough. All right, Marcus, let it all out.
Oh, I mostly covered my bits. Bad game. Everyone who still likes it to this day, I'm happy for you, but also maybe be a little bit ashamed and take a look in the mirror a little more often. But also, like Chris, hey, you know what? Maybe someone can make me play Jack 3 just to see. Just because, like, it can't get worse, right? Like, it can't get worse.
It can't get worse.
What All was right, the, Jack 2, the rock bottom of Naughty Dog's itinerary.
Yo, what was that four-player, like, really mediocre, like, Ratchet and Clank and Jack and Daxter and Sly Cooper game on the PS3?
All for one.
That's no, cool, there was... let's see. No, it was a slightly different one. Let's see. Sony All for One.
Oh, PlayStation All-Stars, but that's a Smash clone.
No. But there was a difference because there was Ratchet and Clank All for One, which was Quark, Ratchet, Clank, and the Furious. And then there was the one
with... It was a Move controller. It was a Move controller game.
Motion-controlled game?
Yeah, I think so.
There was Full Frontal Assault, which was like a tower defense game.
Tower defense,
too.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. PlayStation Move Heroes.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Did not play that one.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm going to make you all play that.
I don't have a move. Send me a move and maybe I will.
We locked down. I guess the business.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm looking at Sly Cooper on the cover, and he looks like he's straight out of Wallace and Gromit. It's really
bad. They look off model, especially Sly. Oof.
Who made this?
Nihilistic Software.
Oh,
whoever that is.
They have like, why does Ratchet look so evil? Sinister.
They did Marvel Nemesis Rise of the
like, Perfect. Dexter looks sinister. I mean, Jack looks like Jack. So, you know, what is going on with... That's some artwork there.
The biggest game that this studio has made is Resistance on the PlayStation Vita.
I heard that one was actually supposed to be pretty good, but yeah, it seems like they got shut down back in 2012, so I wonder why.
Sorry to those people, but
crazy.
All right, so we gonna choose the next game.
Javi, Chris, did you guys have any final thoughts you wanted to lay out, or I got it all out like Marcus did?
I think I'm good. I didn't like it. I wish I did. I did not. But you said Jack X is good, the combat racing one, so I might try that one out.
Yeah, I would actually recommend it because you do like when you have a week when everybody can't record, you'll sometimes do a kart racing segment. I would recommend it for that.
Cool.
Nice.
And
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just gonna say
just doubling down on everything I said earlier. I think this game had great ambition and was trying to, although it was also just trying to follow trends, which is never a good thing. But I could see a version of this game that would work. It's just not what we got. It's really unpleasant to play. I can't stand the freaking overworld music. I don't like the cutscenes. I think they're poorly animated, and it's kind of a mess. And I was rooting for it, so it's kind of a shame. But yeah.
Okay. And then I guess I'll just reiterate. Again, rosy introspection, lots of nostalgia. So it's hard to be objective about the series of games, but I still feel like this game took a lot of risk at the time that you definitely would not see in the modern day, and that's interesting in its own right. And I think there's a lot of good elements with this game that just get muddied because they're trying to do too many things at once, but nonetheless, it's a very interesting title. And it's like, if you're trying to like look into Naughty Dog's history, you know, in addition to the Crash games, this is a good place, I think, to, you know, maybe check out for a bit. You can pick up the collection for pretty cheap on the PS3. And I think that's all I have to say. So I'll hand it over to Marcus so we can choose our game for next month. And hopefully Marcus will finally have a quote unquote good game to play.
That's all I bring to the table, fellas. our choices this next session is going to be Dredge, Animal Well, Blueprints, and of course, the magnum opus, Little Kitty, Big City.
Ooh.
Place your votes now.
The Hunter.
And I think all of these are either available on Game Pass or PS Plus, I believe.
Yes, 100%
correct. Okay, I'm going to type it into the general, or where's the VG club chat? There we go. Sorry about that. Ooh, Animal Well.
So here's the weird part. I am playing Blueprints right now, so this would be an easy layup.
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah, I also booted up Blueprints.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about Blueprints. Else. Little Kitty Big City, I played that prior. That was also very, very good. So I feel like I don't know what Dredge is, though.
Chip, you get fish, sell the fish. Sometimes those fish are a little fucked up. They're maybe some old gods are doing something to these fish. What's going on here?
Dredge is a 2023 fishing horror role-playing adventure game.
Amazing. It's an amazing line right there. Fishing horror role-playing adventure game.
Dredge looks like it's perfect for the Steam Deck. That's some Steam Deck bait.
So how does it differ from Dave the Diver? Well, for one, it's actually developed by an indie studio. No.
Well, it doesn't look like you go underwater. It looks like you're a boat. So that's different.
Yeah, so think Skull and Bones, but not bad.
I feel like Dredge and Dave the Diver came out around the same time, and they might have a crossover. There might be an official crossover, if I remember correctly. Maybe I'm wrong, but this was a nominee for the Steam Awards. Labor of Love. Nice.
Did have a crossover between Dredge and Dave the Diver.
There you go.
Dave the Diver, also famous for partnering with Godzilla.
In what way?
There was like a DLC pack with Dave the Diver and Godzilla.
Yeah.
Oh, what did Godzilla do for their crossover? Is he one of the people he eats?
He just eats everything.
Yeah, let's see. Dave the Diver x Godzilla DLC.
Okay, yeah, you have to put that DLC or you'll get something else.
I don't want to see that.
Well, I hope you put DLC then.
All right.
I think we've got a winner, though.
Yeah, Blueprints.
Now, this one, I think, is possibly a little bit longer than our normal fare. But you can mainline it. I think I saw it in as little as 15 hours.
This is a puzzle. This is a puzzle slash adventure game, correct?
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
It's just a puzzle game. I mean, yeah. You're not adventuring.
There's a narrative, right? It's like a narrative puzzle game. Compared to Myst or Riven.
It's a game that it encourages you to play it with a notebook next to you. You want to take notes. They're basically like you have like a grid of 46 potential rooms, and each time you go to a door to open the next room, it RNG like gives you three different possibilities, and you pick which room of the three you want to generate. And over time, you start to understand what each room is, and you are more strategic. It's also a roguelite, so each day is a run. So like you can like create a room that has no doors, and then you're stuck, and you have to just call it a day and start fresh tomorrow, right?
I feel like you're making Marcus want to take it off the.
It's really cool though. Like I've only spent one evening playing it with my wife, and we got super into it already. And yeah, I'm excited to get back. And everybody, I guess it's kind of a 50-50 split between people loving it and hating it. But the people that love it, I think really, really love it.
I've heard it's dumb person friendly too. Whereas like, you know, it's not as like with The Witness, some of those puzzles were really out there. It seems like the ones in Blueprints are a bit closer to home.
So far, I can only speak to my first night with it, but I mean, I know there's a lot of, every room has a lot of things you didn't perceive that you'll eventually have a eureka moment like hours and hours later. So
Marcus, it's not too late. If you need help, I can vote for Little Kitty Big City. I want you to enjoy this next game.
No, everybody loves Blueprints, and I will love it too. And if I have to convince myself of that.
All right.
Okay, Blueprints.
Blueprints, let's go.
Cool. Right, and okay. Let me see how long to beat, how long it is. It's a roguelite, so it's probably very variable, but...
I think you can technically beat it, as in you find the 46th room, but the game isn't over, so it's kind of like much longer if you want to keep going.
Yeah, main story is about 13 hours long, and if you really want 100% it, it'll be 36 hours.
Yeah, I would say we're probably let's call it like 20.
Sure.
Okay. You know,
we're probably in the middle.
All right, yeah. Sounds good.
Time.
I think this is going to be a fun one to discuss, because I think we're all going to discover or not discover different things, so it's going to be fun to compare notes and tell our
about
stories.
The game and ourselves.
Exactly.
Nice. All right, sounds good. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining me, and Grace, wherever you are out there in the great beyond, thank you for everything, and the world's a darker place without you. And yeah, thank you all so much for listening. And I hope whoever's listening to this has a wonderful day. And yeah, we're out. Say goodbye, Marcus.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Marcus.
Goodbye, Marcus.
Goodbye, Marcus.